Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, and so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the water seas, and God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants, and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries, So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water. And every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Verses 1 to 31, all of Genesis chapter 1. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful and the powerful and the mighty gift of your word. And thank you, Lord, for this beautiful and powerful and tremendous book that we call Genesis. And thank you for chapter 1, through which you introduce us to you, to your word, and to creation. Thank you for the opportunity we have of being able to open your word every day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of blessing, words of insight, counsel, grace, empowerment, and so, so much more. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to be wise enough to make it a high priority to spend time with you one-on-one in your word daily and allow you to do the molding, the shaping, the guiding, the teaching, the discipling that you do as we spend time in your word each and every day. And help us to not only do it for ourselves, but help us to be wise enough as parents and grandparents to help to take and make time to do it for our children and our grandchildren as well. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for scriptures and how you give us a way to explore your character in it. Father, thank you so much for making a way for us to get to know you and your word. Thank you so much for telling us about our history. And Father, I pray that you'll create more of a hunger in our hearts, that we could yearn for more scripture, that we could read it, and that we could apply it, and that it wouldn't just be something that we get to know about, but that it'd be something that would be deeply root in our lives and that would overflow in action. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us so well. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today we're looking at the specific topic, the Bible, the autobiography of God. And, you know, I think to hear that word, many might be sort of taken aback thinking, well, in what way could the Bible possibly be classified as an autobiography? Well, actually, that's very simple. The Bible is a book authored by God about himself. All of the Bible is about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's about all three of them. And it's powerfully about all three. And they're the Trinity, but they're one as well. And so there's much mystery around how that can be. But, you know, sometimes we accept some of the mystery of God's word by faith, even if we may not fully comprehend every aspect of it. So as we look at this topic, the Bible, the autobiography of God, keep in mind the goal is that this would not just be an interesting topic, but a very practical one, one that can help us to take and put the word of God wonderfully and mightily to work in our lives. Remember, amongst other things, the word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God, and they're one. So when you're speaking about the word of God, you're speaking about Jesus. But actually, you're talking about Jesus and God the Father, as well as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit as well. The Holy Spirit permeates every word of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And God the Father is the author, and he too permeates every aspect of scripture as well. So it's powerful to consider these interesting insights and truths. Look with me now in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. And interesting how that John chapter 1 has a very similar introduction to that of Genesis. John chapter 1, reading a portion of the Gospel of John chapter 1. In the beginning, the Word of God already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Verses 1 through 14, John chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful gift of your Word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that as we read your Word, we're spending time one-on-one with you. And Lord, thank you for the truth that you'll spend as much time with us in your Word as we'll spend with you. And help us to know, Lord, that there's so much mystery in the whole reality of the fact that we can spend time with you in your Word, that you are your Word, you and your Word are one. And so as we take time to read your Word, we're spending time with you. We're spending time in your presence. We're spending time listening to you, learning from you, listening to your voice as you speak words of wisdom, words of counsel, words that will bless us, words that empower us to become more and more like you. Lord, set us on fire fresh with a passion to be diligent students of your Word, believers who will read and meditate on your Word every day and draw on the grace, the power, the empowerment that comes from spending time with you. And help us, Lord, to make it the priority in our lives you would have us to. Help us to recognize, Lord, that in spite of the busyness of life, this needs to be a high priority for us as followers of Christ. Help us to make it just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as we're looking at the topic today, the Bible, the autobiography of God, keep in mind, as we mentioned, Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1 begin with the words, in the beginning. And both of them, again, point to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so it's good for us to know that as we're spending time in the Word of God, God is making us to become more and more like him. Grace permeates God's Word. So when you're reading the Word of God, you're pouring grace into your heart and your mind and into your life. You need that. I need that. We all need that. It pours peace into our lives. It pours grace. It pours strength into our lives. It pours encouragement. It pours light into our lives. And money can't buy the good spending time in God's Word will do for your life. So if you're wise, you are going to make one of the high priorities of your day every day, your time, spending time in the Word of God. I can't overemphasize how important it is for us to make it a high priority to spend time in God's Word. Remember, when you're reading the Bible, you're spending time one-on-one with the Creator of the universe. And as busy as God is, he'll spend all the time with you that you'll spend with him. What a privilege. What a gift, what a blessing that is. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Help us to grow an understanding of what a tremendous opportunity and blessing it is to be able to spend time with you in your Word. Help us to never, ever get so busy that we just decide we have more important things to do. Help us to know, Lord, that there's no more important thing we can do than spending time with you. Help us to know there's great benefit, great blessing, great encouragement, great empowerment that flows into our lives as we're spending time with you. And help us to know that so many good things happen as we will make it our priority to spend time with you one-on-one in your Word. Help us to live that daily more and more. And help us to spend more time as we move forward walking with you every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking at the topic, the Bible, the autobiography of God. We'll be right back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish wish that you could see it all made new. We do. Is all creation groaning? Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah, hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again?
Music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Bible, the autobiography of God. And keep in mind, the Word of God is a wonderful gift. The Bible is the best-selling book in all the world. It has been for centuries and for good reason. The author is our Heavenly Father. The author is the creator of the universe, and he used around 40 or so secretaries to write the Bible, but he is the author. And the Bible is a book by God, about God. By God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as well. And so very much it's an autobiography, as well as many other wonderful gifts and blessings to us as believers. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, picking up at verse 38, it tells us these words. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Verses 38 through 42, Luke chapter 10. You know, a small snapshot, kind of a story instance that happens in the life of Jesus. However, the insights and the truths behind this are huge. They affect every believer in the world and how important it is that we learn the important lessons and insights that can be drawn from this powerful short account in the life of Christ. Here, the Lord Jesus and his disciples are visiting and they're spending time in the Word of God. They're spending time with friends. And so they come and they're visiting with friends by the name of Mary and Martha. They're visiting their home. They're traveling and they've come. And picture what's going on here. Two sisters here. Martha is probably very excited to have the Lord Jesus and his disciples in her home. And picture Martha cooking, cleaning, doing all that she would normally do, maybe preparing a big meal for her house full of guests. And at some point realizes her sister Mary is not helping her. And if you picture her walking and looking and seeing Mary, not standing at the door getting ready to come help her, but sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. And just picture how upset Martha is getting more and more so by the moment, thinking, how in the world could that sister of mine be sitting down with a house full of guests? And Martha is so upset, she doesn't speak to Mary. Maybe she thinks she will do something she shouldn't if she spoke to Mary. So she speaks to Jesus, and she sort of even tries to scold Jesus. "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." So in Martha's mind, she has reason to be not too happy with her sister and even upset at the Lord, probably because she's thinking the Lord should have told her, "Mary, your sister needs help. Get up and help her." But notice Jesus' reaction is very different. And the scripture itself doesn't go along with Martha's thinking either, because actually the scripture indicated that Martha was distracted. The scripture itself indicated that Martha was distracted. To be distracted is to be pulled away from the more important thing. And so the Lord Jesus' response is not at all what Martha expected. Christ's response was, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So the Lord Jesus is commending Mary for her actions and helping Martha to see that Mary is being the wiser of the two of them. What is Mary doing? She's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Let me say to every one of us as believers, we're called to live a lifestyle of sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word. Spending time reading and meditating on the word of God is a way whereby we can, in essence, sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn. There's so many important things the Lord will do in our lives as we live a lifestyle of sitting at his feet, listening and learning from him. There's so much molding and shaping he'll do as we spend time reading and meditating on his word. He'll give us insight, wisdom, guidance, and direction, and the Spirit of God will reach into our hearts and do molding and shaping more and more every day we spend time with him in the word of God. We're called to live with a Mary kind of heart in a Martha kind of world, a heart that wants to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen and learn. And we do that as we read and meditate on the Word of God. I'm going to share with you an article from the AFA stand that I had the chance to write and place on the stand, and basically a similar title to what we're focusing on today. The title of the article, and once again, obviously, you can email us to get a copy. The title of the article is "The Bible, Autobiography of God." Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Again, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Then John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1, verses 1 to 4. Then Psalm 119, verse 105 tells us, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. The Bible is the book of all books. It's the only book in the world authored by God. He used around 40 or so secretaries or scribes to write it, but the Bible is God's book. The Bible is many things. Amongst other things, it is an autobiography. It's a book by God about himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything in God's word points to him. From Genesis to Revelation, it all points the world to him, the God who is love, the God who is almighty, the creator of the universe, the God who is King of kings and Lord of lords. God's word is the best-selling book in the world by far, and it's the best-selling book every year. It's the most read book in all the world. It seems that the one book in the world authored by the creator in the universe, a book by him about him, should be the bestseller in the world. How is the Bible an autobiography? Consider the following truths. God is the Father, Jehovah. He's the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. See John chapter 1, verse 1. Every word in the Word of God is Jesus, and he is found in every word in the Word of God. You find Christ in every book of the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ is in every book. Each book is the mind of Christ, the counsel of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, and the heart of Christ. So the whole Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus and God the Father are one. John chapter 10, verse 30. Consider the following. Genesis is the first book in the Bible. God introduces himself in Genesis. Genesis has 50 chapters. It contains four key events: the creation, the fall, the flood, and the scattering of nations. It also tells us about four key characters in the book of Genesis: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Early in Genesis, we learn that God calls his people to trust him and to live by faith in him and in his word. The message continues throughout the rest of the Bible. In the other 65 books, the just shall live by faith. When men and women trust and obey God, they are blessed as a result. When they disobey God and choose not to trust him, they always, always lose. What then is faith? Faith is trusting and believing God and his word. And from Genesis to Revelation, God rewards those who trust him and his word, and he judges those who choose not to trust him. So the Bible is truly the autobiography of God. In it, we come to know God, his wisdom and his ways and his character. Wise people will come to know Christ and will become diligent, faithful students of his word. Today is a good day to start the journey into his word. That is the journey to get to know God, your heavenly Father. And then 11 excellent reasons to read God's word every day. Number one, it tells you how to be genuinely saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 to 2, and Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Next, it gives you clear guidance and direction for your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. Next, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Then the next truth, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. The next truth, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. The next truth, it helps you maintain your mental health. See Proverbs chapter 4. The next truth, it increases God's anointing in every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. The next truth, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life. See Proverbs chapters 1 to 4. The The next truth, it enhances your intellect and your personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. It pours grace, joy, and peace into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians 1, 2, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2. In direct statement or principle, God's word gives you guidance and or direction about every issue or topic in life. Psalm 119, verse 10. Thank you again, Father, for the privilege, the blessing, the grace that is ours as we open your word every single day. Help us more and more to grow an understanding of how critically important it is that you, that we be students of your word, that we be believers who literally live a lifestyle of sitting at your feet, listening, learning, and drawing closer to you as we're students of your word. Help us to know that many, many benefits flow into our lives as we read and meditate in your word every single day. And that much grace pours into our lives as we spend time in your word, that much peace and joy pour into our hearts and our lives as we read and study your word. Help us to know more and more that making the priority you would have us make in our lives will bring great blessing to our lives in so many ways. Thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking today at the topic of the Bible, the autobiography of God. We'll be right back.
Sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word there now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. You are the living
word. Awesome ruler.
Awesome ruler.
Gentile redeemer.
Music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, the Bible, the autobiography of God. And again, a very practical topic in that because knowing and understanding that it's a book by God about God actually is a tremendous truth to grasp. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, it tells us these words. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the combs. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer. Father, thank you again for the wonderful gift of your word. More and more help us to recognize, Lord, that as we're spending time with you in your word, so much grace and power and blessing pour into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Your light pours into our lives in much greater measure. Help us to grow every day with a greater understanding of what a tremendous blessing it is for us to simply spend time one-on-one with you in your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to share an article by the title, Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. Again, the title of this article, Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 5. Then 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Again, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. Genesis is a wonderful, powerful, and supernatural book. It's the introductory book to the Word of God. Therefore, it's the book that begins to answer our questions about God. One might ask, in what way is the Bible, the written word of God, the book of answers? In life, people ask many questions about life, real questions that they wish to get answers for. Questions such as, where did we come from? Who created us? Who created the world? Who created the universe? What is the purpose of life? What is my individual purpose? These are only a few of many legitimate questions people may often ask in the world we live in. If you were to ask many scientists in our culture today, what are some of your main goals and what is your purpose in studying science? Many of those scientists would respond, "We're trying to find out who we are and where we came from." Yet, it's God's word that gives us answers to all of our questions. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to chapter 22, the final chapter in the book of Revelation, the Word of God answers many answers to our questions. What else would we expect from a book authored by the Creator of the universe? He, of course, has answers that no one else would even begin to have. Some of those answers include, where do we come from and who created us? We were created by God and we come from God. See Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Well, who created the world? Well, God did. See Genesis chapter 1. Who created the universe? God did. See Genesis chapter 1. What is the purpose of life? See Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The purpose of life is to know and serve God. What is my individual purpose? It's to know and serve God. See Genesis chapters 1 and 2 and Matthew chapter 6, 33. Another question, how did sin come into the world? Well, that's answered in Genesis chapter 3. The devil tempted man to sin, who gave in to the temptation and rebelled against God. Again, see Genesis chapter 3. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. See Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How did God provide a remedy for the problem of sin? He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die on the cross to pay for our sins, who then rose from the dead, providing a way for us to be saved. See John 3:16. What will happen in the world during the end times? Well, the books of Revelation and the books of Daniel and Revelation give us insights about things that will happen in the end times of history. If you aren't already in the habit of reading the Word of God every day, today is a great day to start that very important habit. Reading three chapters in the Bible every day is a great growth goal for any and every believer. So for anyone who will embark upon the journey to start reading God's Word daily, And one place to begin, of course, is in the book of Genesis. Today is the day you may begin to receive the answers to some of your biggest questions if you'll start that very important journey. Again, the title of this article, Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. If you'd like to get a copy of this article and the one we shared earlier, just let us know. Again, the title of this article, Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. And the article earlier is has a title similar to our topic for today, The Bible, the Autobiography of God. Again, just email us, joseph@afr.net, and we'll be glad to get both articles to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Looking in the book of Exodus chapter 20, here we find the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, starting at verse 1. Then God gave the people all these instructions. I am the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of your slavery. You must not have any god but me. You must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or an image of anything in the heavens or on the earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands. You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely against your neighbor. You must not covet your neighbor's house. You must not covet your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox or donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Thank you, Lord, for us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for us as a nation. Help us, Lord, as the church and as a nation to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family, and thank you for all those we've lifted up in prayer today. Today we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today we say of the Lord, you are our refuge and our fortress, our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver us from the fowler's snare and from the noisome pestilence. You cover us with your feathers, and under your wings do we trust. Your truth is our shield and buckler. So we are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. Only with our eyes shall we look and see the reward of the wicked. Because we have made the Lord our refuge, even the Most High habitation, no evil will befall us, neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you give your angels charge over us to keep us all our ways. They bear us up in their hands, lest we dash our foot against a stone. We tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. We trample underfoot. Because we have set our love upon you, therefore you deliver us. You set us on high because we have known your name. We call upon you and you answer us. You are with us in trouble. You deliver us and honor us. With long life you satisfy us and show us your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, that was praying the Ten Commandments, and praying Psalm 91. And we would encourage you to pray. Again, those are ways whereby you can take the Word of God and pray the Word of God. And we would encourage you to pray the Ten Commandments and pray Psalm 91 absolutely every day of your lives. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you know you have never invited Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, you know you're not saved, but you want to be saved, would you simply take the step to pray and invite Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior today? So you can simply pray this prayer with us to make that step. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you gave your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please contact us. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, please do get in touch. Again, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to get copies of either or both of the articles we shared, again, the two articles, the first one entitled The Bible, The Autobiography of God, and the second article, Genesis, Introduction to the Book of Answers. If you like one or both, simply email us, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.